Hey there, welcome to the High Five Podcast. Each episode, we count down our top five favorites in a different category, from movies and music to the totally random. Get ready to laugh and maybe even yell at our picks. Let's get into this week's High Five.
I'm in the process of building a cabinet with a hidden bookshelf door.
Yeah, remember you saying that. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I put it up tonight and it flows freely, except it hits the radiator that's like 6 inches away from it that is like in line with the wall. But so it clears the wall, but doesn't clear the radiator because it like swings. And so like the point of the cabinet is hitting it. So I have to have my heating contractor come and rotate that radiator to the perpendicular wall so that it doesn't hit my cabinet that I just spent a lot of time building.
Yeah, you don't really want to notch it or anything for it to like go past it because that would look silly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it looks silly, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but other than that, I'm pretty happy with it. We got our exercise room closed off with a door on each side now. And we got our guest room all set up. The bed is set up. I built a headboard for it with French cleats. So Katie's actually in the process of wrapping it with fabric right now. And then we're just getting, once it gets wrapped, then it's just sitting on the French cleats behind the headboard. Or it is the headboard behind the bed.
Nice.
Yeah, so next time you come, there will be much more room for people to stay.
Yeah,
I'm thinking.
Yeah, I put up a barn door.
Oh yeah, downstairs. Yeah, nice, nice.
So it's a barn door, but the door is going to be. I already bought it. I just got to get the door, but it's it's not Darth Vader. It's Han Solo and Carbonite.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it'll look like it's hanging there.
That's awesome. Cool.
I just got to get a door.
That's awesome. I can't wait to see your basement. Okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I think I'm ready. Okay. Take a sip of my wine first.
Some Malbec?
Mm-hmm. I've already had one.
You do it warm or cold?
Chill. Just slightly chilled. Slightly. Like we have a wine fridge and we keep it just a little bit colder than what you're supposed to, but
yeah.
Yeah.
I like it a little cold. That's what I was asking. I've had it, you know, room temp or whatever, but I like it with a little chill to it. I feel like it adds a crisp, if you will.
Yeah. Yep. I like it either way. I'm not gonna complain.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, well, let's get into it. Hello again, and welcome to the High Five Podcast, where each episode we list our five favorite items within an ever-changing topic. And this week this was Caleb's pick, right? That was your pick?
It was. Yep, it was.
And what did you pick for our topic and why?
Yep, I did top five movie sequels. I don't know why. I just thought it would be kind of a fun thing to discuss. You know, we both really enjoy going to the movies and watching movies, so I thought it'd be fun to talk about that. And, you know, I know sometimes sequels can get a bad rap or can ruin franchises.
I mean, they normally suck.
I thought it'd be fun to highlight good ones.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep. Cool. All right, so I kind of just thought as an icebreaker, it'd be fun to just talk about what makes a sequel worthy. Like what makes, like to you, what put things on this list?
Yeah, I thought it either has to improve on the original storyline, like add something new and fresh and different.
Yeah.
Yeah,
expanding the world. Ooh.
Yeah, expanding the world, expanding character development, you know, that whole kind of idea. So I didn't necessarily, you know, and for me also, it's just, you know, ones that I've really enjoyed and have watched over and over, or
Yeah.
or are from franchises that I really like. But yeah, they all, added to the story, changed something up, or
Yeah.
created a new, fresh take on the same world.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it's a tough line to walk, right? Because like you want to recreate the feeling that you got from the first one, because that's what made you love it in the first place, was obviously the first one had to be good enough to deserve getting a sequel. But you don't want to just recreate the same feeling to just recreate it again. Like you gotta expand it. But you don't want to expand it too much to where it's like this is not even related anymore.
Well, and I feel like sometimes they just, come out with another one because the first one did really well. So like, oh, we got to make money off of this, so let's make another one. And
This
sometimes they just
formula
waste that.
worked.
Yeah, they just didn't. They don't put necessarily a lot of thought behind it. They're just kind of like, oh, hey, this was good. Let's do another one. Like Hangover 2 was the first one that came to my mind. I was like, Hangover 1 is great. Hangover 2 sucks, and it's the same
I mean, it
thing.
was
Just like,
funny, but
sure,
it was
but it was
not more.
not. No, it was the same idea. There wasn't like a new twist or turn. I mean, it was the same thing that happened in the first one. So, there's lots of movies like that where you're like, yeah, I mean, it's you tried to recreate the same thing again, and you hit lightning in the bottle the first time, you're not going to do it a second time with the same idea.
Okay. So this was your topic, and yeah, so that means you get to go first. Give us your number five, Caleb.
Yeah, so my number five, I think, is a perfect example of kind of building in more character development, adding to the story, adding to the world from the original. And in fact, I would argue this one is better than the original. And my number five is Zootopia 2. It's the newest one on my list. It's one that we just recently watched in the theaters when it came out, and just loved it. I thought it was a great storyline. It added more fun characters to the world while revisiting the story of Judy Hopps and Nick Wilde. And I thought the characters they brought in were excellent. Obviously they brought back a lot of the same characters and kind of added to those stories. But Gary the Snake, I thought, was
Yeah.
an incredible
I was
great new
skeptical of Gary the
character.
Snake at first. I was like, no, this is
Sure, I
kind of
was too.
this is a snake. That's not a very good character. And he was kind of
And
a
then
the bad guy you thought at the beginning.
right, exactly. Yep. So
Spoiler alert.
I really just enjoyed the story. I thought it was excellent. Nibbles Maplestick was a great character all the kids loved and thought was hilarious. And it had a little twist at the end and had a bunch of throwbacks to other movies within the movie, which was kind of interesting to see if you got any of those references and stuff. But yeah, I thought it was a great movie, great message again. Zootopia, the original one, had a great message. This one had a great message about, kind of the heroes write the story, but they might not be the heroes in the end. So, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great new take on our original great story. So.
Cool. Yeah, I did like that one. And looking forward, I think it's coming out on streaming here very soon, so we're
Yeah, the
looking forward to it.
11th.
All right, so that was your number five. My number five, I literally just switched. I forgot about it, and I forgot that I love this one so much. And the reason I love it so much is because the main character really, really reminds me of Vivian quite a bit. And it's like it's maybe a couple years ahead of Vivian by age, which is like really perfect for me to kind of like watch and be like, oh, this is something Vivian's gonna probably be going through in the next couple years. And that's Inside Out 2. Inside Out 1 was awesome, taught us about all of the feelings that we have in our brains, and everyone's got all these different personalities, essentially, their fear, their anger, their anxiety, their joy. Number two came out in 2024, and it talks about Riley going through puberty, essentially. And
Right.
so it went from childhood emotions to teenage identity, middle school, which is what we're going through right now. And this one hit me pretty hard. This one was pretty relatable for me. Did a lot of crying in this one, just because of knowing how, how close it is to, Vivian's experience right now.
Yeah, for
And
sure.
so, yeah, that was a just incredible movie. It did, let's see, the audience rating was 94% on it. Critics Rotten Tomatoes rating was 91%. So like just amazing. Obviously it's Pixar, and Pixar is awesome, and can kind of do things without, I mean, not every one of their movies is great, but like
Sure. They usually do pretty good.
they usually do pretty well. And this one was just a home run. The whole concept of the emotions, I should say, is just it's such a groundbreaking thing. Not necessarily groundbreaking, but like putting it in visual forms with characters is kind of is an interesting idea, and helps us talk about it and helps it be approachable for us as adults and kids. So, but
Yeah, and
yep.
again, that's a perfect example of adding to an already great story. You know, bringing in new characters and adding to, that story in that world is, they did an incredible job.
And so I told Katie this. I can't remember if I told Katie this after the first one or after the second one, but I said that Inside Out 2 is basically Toy Story for, with a girl main character instead of
Sure.
Andy. Obviously Toy Story moved beyond Andy, but that's kind of the way it started out. So
Yeah. Okay.
anyway, that's my
Nice.
number five, Inside Out 2.
Great one. Yep. It's a great one for sure. So my number four, I kind of cheated.
So did
It's
I
not,
changed my five.
it's not one movie. Cause I couldn't really pick just one of
Well,
the.
you can't pick the first one.
Well, right, correct. Sorry. So this franchise has four movies in it. And so obviously the first one is incredible, but I think two through four, just they every time, I don't know what they do. I don't know what their secret sauce is, the secret formula. But it always seems to be adding new characters, adding to the world, pulling on your heartstrings, all of those things. And it's Toy Story. Obviously the original came out in 1995, but then Toy Story 2 came out in 99. Toy Story 3 came out in 2010, which I didn't realize they were that close together. And then Toy Story 4 came out in 2019, and then there is Toy Story 5 coming out soon. So hopefully they can keep that streak
Have you
going,
seen the
but
trailers?
I have.
It looks so good.
It does. And yeah, I just think this franchise is great, and I couldn't pick one. Like, I couldn't just do Toy Story 2 or 3 or 4. I really like them all. I think they all have their own message, their own new characters. I just think franchise-wise, it's one of the few times where you have lightning in a bottle and you keep hitting lightning in a bottle, film after film after film. So, even though they took a long hiatus between three and four was incredible. Again, bringing out a new character in Forky and a different storyline and Woody leaving at the end. And so I just think that franchise is the best at sequels. So that's why it had to be my number four.
Yeah, I do not disagree with it. Yeah, my only thing was is we didn't really get into it until more recently because Vivian wasn't a Toy Story
Sure.
kid. But we watched, I think we watched them all like when 4 came out, and we just
Okay.
got hooked, and we love it now. But it just doesn't hold the same spot in my heart as
For
all the
sure.
rest of
Sure.
these because I didn't love them at the time of, release. So, yep. My number four does fit that bill, and number four is a sequel to a 1964 original, and this one came out in 2018, and that's Mary Poppins Returns. Anybody who knows me at all knows I love Mary Poppins. And when this came out in 2018, so Vivian was 6 years old, you know, just perfect age. And it really you could say this movie got us through COVID. Like, this was like one of the go-to movies for me and Vivian specifically, but Katie loves it too.
Yeah.
And just love Mary Poppins, love the music to it. I love the music to the originals, but I love what Lin-Manuel Miranda did to this soundtrack. It got 4 Oscar nominations as a whole. Okay. I think it got for score, song, and then a couple of the like design ones, like production design, and can't remember what the other one was, but like, it, I don't think it won any, but it was respected. And I think some people just didn't like that it wasn't like original enough. It seemed like more of an echo of the first one. So, you know, you're going back to our icebreaker, what kind of, you know, what was it? You know, it wasn't expanding the world so much. It went back to the Banks family. It was kind of just recreating the same feeling that you got from the first one. But I love the first one. So, you know, give me more of that feeling and I'm good with it. And I'll watch it 100 times. So that's my number 4, Mary Poppins Returns.
Nice. Oh, it's a good one. It's a good one for sure. So I feel like I haven't watched that with Reese yet. I need to sit down and watch that with her. We haven't done that yet. It's like the perfect age. She's 7. So that's right there. Okay, so my number 3 is from one of my favorite movie franchises, and the second one, the sequel, is my favorite of all 3, and it's Lord of the Rings, Two Towers, which
yes,
just an incredible, came out in 2002. So I loved these films. I don't think I have many more, but I had their extended box series and all that stuff. So I've watched these over and over, and I really loved Two Towers. You know, obviously the fellowship has been fractured, and they're all kind of off on their own journey. You know, Sam and Frodo are bringing the ring and run into Gollum, and then Aragorn and Legolas and Gimli are off chasing after Merry and Pip, and Merry and Pip encountered Treebeard. I loved the storyline. You know, this is also where, Gandalf comes back as Gandalf.
Gandalf the White.
Gandalf the Grey. He's Gandalf the White.
Yeah.
You know, that was how I remember that reveal, because I didn't read the books or anything like that. So I didn't know what happened. You know, I didn't know he came back into the story. So, you know, that was a surprise to me when it released. But yeah, I really love the story, the depth, the visuals, everything about it. You know, I thought Peter Jackson's adaptation was awesome. And I, again, number 2, The Two Towers was my favorite of the 3.
All right. So that was your number 3. My number 3 was Back to the Future Part 2. I am a Back to the Future fan. Always loved it, always will. The original Back to the Future came out in 1985, so I would have been 4 years old, so I was a little young, but like, you know, when you're that young, you can just see bits and pieces of things and just fall in love with things, and that's apparently what happened with the original one. And, you know, probably didn't see it until I was like, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 years old anyway, because you know, took long enough to come out on, you know, VHS or whatever. But then Back to the Future Part 2 came out in 1989, and I would have been 8 years old, and I definitely remember watching that. And it was super cool too, because they filmed Part 3 basically back to back with Part 2, and so when at the end of Part 2 it basically, you know, said to be continued, Part 3, or, you know, whatever. Yeah. And so like you already knew that there was going to be something. And so I actually really consider part two and part three kind of almost the same
The
movie
same.
because they
Sure.
it's the continuation of the same story. They went to the future in 2015, and then they went back, and there was an alternate 1985 where Biff is, basically the president, which is kind of funny because Biff is like,
Yeah.
has Trump inspirations to it. Like,
Yeah.
so you watch that, and it's like, oh my God, oh wow,
Yeah.
the
Yep.
way that Back to the Future predicted so many things to happen, it's insane.
I'm still waiting for my hoverboard, but
Come on, give us some of the good things. Back to the Future Part 2 specifically, it didn't get great critic ratings. It was only like 63% critic ratings on Rotten Tomatoes, but it's solidly up there with 86% audience ratings. And so,
Yeah.
I'd say it's
It's a
probably more of a
classic.
cult classic, It's,
Yeah.
the one that people watch is the first one. It's really hard to argue with the first one, but I love the futuristic part of, the second one.
Agree. Yeah.
That's my.
Yeah, I definitely remember the second one more than I remember. I mean, I remember the first one, but the second one I think had more of, I'm the same, had more of an impact on me than the first one did.
And I think, was it part three also went back to like
The
1885 or
Western,
something like that?
yeah. I didn't like the third one as much. The second one's my favorite of all three.
I love them all.
Sure.
But yeah, I agree. You're probably right. They probably start out one, two, three, in that quality order as well.
So I'm not gonna lie, it was hard for me to. For my number two, to not do one through five of Star Wars, but I didn't. I didn't. I left it at number two, and it is the original sequel, and it's Empire Strikes Back. Empire Strikes Back is probably my favorite of the original three. I don't know. I kind of go back and forth between it and Return of the Jedi, but Empire, I think, is still my favorite. So it came out in 1980. So obviously, I watched it on VHS and never in a theater, unfortunately. But yeah, I just it's again, it's adding to this character development, adding to the storyline. Obviously, this is where we find out. Luke is out training and doing all that stuff, and Han Solo's put into. Oh my goodness, why can't I think of what he could put? Carbonite? I don't
Carbonate.
know
You
why I
already
can't think of a
mentioned it
second.
tonight.
I know, I don't even know why I couldn't think of it. My brain just stopped working. And obviously, they think the Death Star's destroyed, but it's still there. And yeah, I just, this is when we find out Darth Vader's true identity. We find out all sorts of groundbreaking, earth-shattering things. So yeah, I just. It started off on Hoth, which again, one of my favorite, kind of scenes where they're out in the frozen planet. And so there's just so many classic, iconic moments. And again, it, adds to who these characters are, where they came from, who Darth Vader really is. We didn't know. We had no idea. Yeah, I just, it's definitely my favorite of the original three. So.
Nice. I can't argue with that. The only reason I didn't rank it higher is because I didn't grow up with it. So I didn't get
Sure.
into Star Wars until I was, 20 years old, essentially. And
Sure.
so I didn't have that relationship with it as a kid. So, or like when it came out, or close to when it, came out, early in my life or whatever.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, I watched it when I was little, but obviously I never saw it in theaters or anything. So when the 40th anniversary comes out, or no, not 40th, 50th anniversary comes out, hopefully they'll bring it back to the theaters. So.
I think they will. Well, Caleb, you inspired me.
Okay.
My number two is also Star Wars,
Yeah.
but not your Star Wars. My
Okay.
Star Wars, The Last Jedi, Episode
Yeah.
8. I know you like this one too.
I do. Yep.
Hold on here. Vivian just texted, wants to know if I want ice cream from Culver's. Yes, I do, ma'am. You know what I want. You know the usual. The usual is a concrete mixer with turtle fixings in it.
Okay.
So caramel and pecan, what is it?
Pecans.
Pecans and chocolate. Yep, but
Yep.
in the concrete mixer.
Right.
And if they don't do it right, the fudge actually melts the ice cream if they put it in too hot. So
Do
I
you
don't know.
like that or don't like that?
I like it a little soupy, but
Yeah.
oh, come on, Vivian. She said flavor question mark. You know.
Oh, she failed the
Concrete
test.
mixer with turtle. She did fail the test. All right. So yeah. Star Wars: The Last Jedi, 2017, 91% critic rating, but only 41% audience ratings, and that's
Because the audience are stupid.
because this split the Star Wars community. This was kind of, what was it? This was shoot, why am I drawing? Rian Johnson directed this one, and he kind of took it in a different direction. And it supposed that it wasn't just Skywalkers that could have, force abilities, and that it suggested that Rey was maybe not born into this. She was It just happened upon her. And they obviously kind of retcon that come episode 9. But it's still a great movie. I love everything about it. Love all the characters in it. I love the lightsaber battles in it. That one with Kylo Ren and Rey, and in the throne room with Snoke there, and then Snoke gets his body chopped up a little bit like a vegetable. Just everything about this one was just chef's kiss, and I wish they would make more like this. I think they're heading in that direction. I think they know that this is the direction to go. But I think the episode 9 kind of ruined it, but whatever. Still love it.
I don't know if episode 9 ruined it, but it definitely, I
Tainted
think,
it
is
a
the
little.
weaker is the weakest of
Yes, by far.
the three.
Yep. It sucks because like it's a beautiful movie and like they do so well with it, but just the story is the weakest for sure.
Yeah, it is. It is. I think they tried to tie up loose ends that didn't need tying up. But no, I agree with you. Last Jedi, it's a great movie. I love that movie. Like I said, it would have been easy for me to put all Star Wars on my list. But I couldn't do that. So yeah, Last Jedi is a great sequel. And I know, people are mad that Luke runs away and hides and all of this kind of stuff, but I don't think it's that far-fetched. I mean, he saw the death of a bunch of his Padawans and then almost tried to kill Ben. He had some trauma and couldn't quite process it. I think it makes sense, and he had the redemption arc that you would expect. So, and that scene between him and Kylo Ren and with the red and the snow or sand or whatever it is, it's one of my favorite scenes ever, where he kind of brushes it off after he's been unloaded on.
Oh yeah, that was
So,
very cool.
yeah, but no, that's a great choice. So, sorry, I could talk about Star Wars for
Oh, you do
a
not have to apologize to
while.
me. That was my number two.
Now we're number
So
ones.
we're on to our number ones.
So I've talked about this movie and other lists of ours, and it's coming back again. And it is probably it is my favorite superhero movie. And it is an incredible sequel, and it is The Dark Knight. It came out in 2008. Again, I just the Joker, the Batman at the end, the twist of Batman kind of taking the blame and letting Harvey Dent be the good guy and him becoming the bad guy. And I just, there's just so much to this movie that's incredible. I mean, the acting is great, the scenes, the everything about it. I can't speak more highly of this movie as a whole. And that's why it keeps getting mentioned in a lot of the things when we talk about movies and superheroes. So it is my favorite superhero movie. I've watched it many, many, many times. It doesn't get old. I can, if I happen to be flipping through channels, which rarely happens nowadays, and it's on, I will definitely stop and watch it. But yeah, it's in my opinion the perfect superhero movie where, the good guy takes on the bad guy persona, and then, Joker is the best acted bad guy in all of cinema. So,
All right. So that was your number one.
yeah.
My number one is Blade Runner 2049. This is
Ooh.
one of my favorite movies. If I'm on an airplane and I don't know what to watch, this movie's
Yeah.
always available and I'll watch this probably 50% of the time. It's just such a beautiful movie. I loved Blade Runner, the original, as it was came out in 1982, so it was before my time. But I discovered it probably around, I don't know, mid 2000s, 2005 to 2008, somewhere in there. Well, probably about the time that Blade Runner 2049 came out in
Sure.
2017. So
Yeah.
that's probably why I went back and watched the original Blade Runner, is because I knew that this new one was coming out. And it has Ryan Gosling in it, has
Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford from the original. He was in the original Blade Runner in 1982. And so they tie the first story to the second story, but it's just so beautifully made. Like, just cinema. Like, it won two Academy Awards, one for best cinematography and one for best visual effects. So you know that it's got to be pretty kick-ass if it wins an Academy Award.
Right.
Like, in
For
sci-fi
sure.
movies don't really do well at the Academy Awards. So
Sure.
it was just such a great movie. And it's one that I will watch. I just love I mean, I don't love dystopian movies, but if they can make them beautiful, like, there is a way to make a dystopian movie beautiful. Like, I think they do that well with Dune. I think Dune is in the same realm. So if you like Dune, I think you'd like Blade Runner 2049. This is.
Nice.
I don't know if it's my favorite movie of all time, but it could be up there. It could be my favorite movie of all time. It's
Okay.
definitely a favorite.
Yeah.
Before we jump into our honorable mentions, what do you say we listen to some voicemails? We've got three voicemails.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's hear from Sarah first. We're
Okay.
just going to go in chronological order. Long time listener,
First time not caller. I'm
many
kidding.
time caller, Sarah. And let's see what Sarah has to say.
Hey guys, it's Sarah again. Jay asked me to submit a voice memo regarding movie sequels. So here's what I have to say about that. So, The Dark Knight, Terminator 2, Toy Story 2, and The Empire Strikes Back are all excellent sequels. However, my personal favorite is Aliens, the 1986 sequel to 1979's Alien. With Aliens, we get an epically badass female action hero in Sigourney Weaver, who snagged a Best Actress Oscar nomination for her role as Ripley, which is a rarity for an action movie. The action scenes are insane. We get memorable lines, for example, Bill Paxton screeching, "Game over, man, game over!" and "Nuke the site from orbit, it's the only way to be sure." We finally see the alien queen, and the end scenes with Ripley searching for Newt, escaping the doomed power station, and the showdown with the queen on board the ship are all just amazing. Just absolutely heart-pounding. So yeah, Aliens is my number one movie sequel pick.
There you have it. Was that too
loud?
I got
nervous. She just mentioned all of like mine. I was like, wait a second.
Yeah. I think Aliens was a little bit before my time. Like,
sure.
I've seen them all, but it was just, it didn't hit me. It wasn't my, didn't hit me at the right time.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not a real, like, I like a good scary movie. I'd probably like it now, but I was never a big scary movie person when I saw those. And so I didn't really like them that much.
Yeah.
But, yep. All right. So that was Sarah. Thank you, Sarah. And Sarah said she has a little bit of a cold, so she wanted to excuse herself.
Okay.
But we got Rob here.
All right.
Our friend Rob.
Hey, guys. It's your old friend Rob. And I understand that you are talking about sequels tonight. And so Jay has asked me to pick one sequel, not two. Just one that I think probably is head and shoulders above the original film. And my choice would be one that you both probably have on your list. I can't imagine that you would not. But my choice of a sequel would be Terminator 2 Judgment Day. Now, Terminator 2 is head and shoulders above the original.
Yes.
The special effects are light years ahead of what the last movie was. And I thought it was a really interesting choice to have the villain of the first movie become the hero of the second movie. And so my sequel choice would be Terminator 2, Judgment Day. Hope you're both doing well, and I look forward to listening to this episode when it airs. Take care. Bye.
Yep.
Yep. Totally agree with that. Actually, it's one of my honorable mentions.
Mine too.
Yeah. You know, we talked about villains, and, you know, my villain was, what was it, T-1000?
Yeah.
That was T-1000. And can't argue with it.
I agree. I mean, the idea that the original bad guy is now the hero, is a great twist and change to a universe. So I agree.
My ice cream's here.
Nice.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Hey, where's mine? Hi. Vivian, where's mine?
Caleb wants to know where his is.
Where's mine?
Oh, about that.
It melted.
Actually, you should talk to him. He didn't order any for you.
It's okay. It's be a long delivery.
Anyway. All right, so that was Rob. We have one more.
What's today's?
We're doing movie sequels.
Peak. I like Frozen 2.
You want to listen to Mom's?
Oh, Frozen 2.
All right, we got Katie for our last voicemail here.
Hi there, High Five guys. This is Katie here. Wanting to share with you my favorite movie sequel, and that is Captain America and the Winter Soldier. The Captain America movies are great, but the first sequel, I suppose, Winter Soldier, was really just like an excellent movie, and maybe the best Marvel movie ever made, perhaps. It's definitely one of my top five movies. And while Captain America as a character is just okay, I really think that the Winter Soldier and the Black Widow, that's Sebastian Stan and Scarlett Johansson, just really add a lot to that specific movie. It's awesome. Just one of those rare situations where the sequel is better than the first movie. And it's great. I think everyone should watch it. That's all I've got. And I really cannot wait for the top five worst sequel list. So when you've got that one ready, I would love to guest host. Thanks a lot and love the show. You guys are the best.
We'll put her on the wait list. See if we can fit her in for that one.
Wait, can I share mine?
Yeah. What do you got, Viv?
Okay. So we love Frozen 2. I'm probably just because I'm coming back from Frozen rehearsal. and thinking about that. But yeah, that's really peak because I get to know my character's backstory, and I love that. And also, The Hunger Games Catching Fire.
Great movie. Yeah.
That's my favorite in the whole series. So it's really good. Okay. Yeah. Cool. We love that.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
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 Is Catching Fire the second one or the third one?
Second one.
Okay. I don't know the orders of those.
Mm-hmm. I just remember because it's because they were on fire. They had the flame suits.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. I've never watched any of the Hunger Games.
Oh, you haven't? Okay.
Nope. Maybe one day, but it's low on my list.
All right. So those were our voicemails from listeners. Do you have any voicemails?
Yeah. I was gonna say, speaking of voicemails, speakpipe.com, Facebook.com, and Instagram.com/thehighfivepodcast. Mm-hmm. And you guys can leave voicemails or comments or anything you need so we can
lewd have you photos. All
engage with us.
No, don't leave us lewd photos. That's
I mean, yeah. You're the one that'd be watching most of it. So you'd have to forward them to me. So if you want to send Jay a picture of your wiener,
please.
Remember, that's speakpipe.com/highfivepodcast. So I think that'll get taken down on Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah.
Or
don't do that.
Instagram. Yeah.
We don't want to get demonetized. We're already demonetized.
I guess we could just switch over to OnlyFans at that point. Yeah. We'd be all set.
All right. Yep. So honorable mentions.
Yep.
As Rob mentioned, Terminator 2 Judgment Day came out in 91. Critically acclaimed, audience acclaimed. Mad Max Fury Road, 2015. 97% critic rating. Just an awesome, awesome, awesome movie. Home Alone 2, Lost in New York.
Ooh. Yeah.
Terribly. Mm-hmm. Critics hated it, 35%. 62% audience score. But, like, it's just a classic Christmas movie. The only thing that screws it up is Donald Trump is in it.
Yeah.
Men in Black 2, released in 2002. It was a continuation of, Men in Black 1. Just fun Will Smith stuff. Iron Man 2 came out in 2010. That's when we first met Natasha Romanoff. Katie mentioned Black Widow.
Yeah.
This was kind of when you first meet her. And the Iron Man movies are all just fun. And then Kill Bill Volume 2. I can't really differentiate Kill Bill Volume 2 from Volume 1. But actually, Volume 1 is actually the better movie because that's when all the hack and slash happens. Like, that's the bloodiest part of the movie. And then the second half is more of like the sadder, the more talk, conversational. And dealing with, the resolution of everything. But still, it's awesome and just beautifully made. So, and I love Kill Bill. Probably a top 10 movie for me overall. So, yeah, nice. Those are my honorable mentions. What'd you have?
Okay. So I had T2 as well, Terminator 2. Spider-Man 2, with Tobey Maguire, mm-hmm. Doc Ock, all that. It's a good one. I always like that one. Finding Dory. I really enjoyed Finding Dory. The Last Jedi, again. Probably could have put more Star Wars on here, but we'll leave it at that. And then Inside Out 2. So I did that in reverse order, technically. Inside Out 2 is the one that just fell off my list. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, so many good sequels out there, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so those are honorable mentions. That was movie sequels. Next week, we have a special guest coming on to co-host with us, and that's Sarah, our longtime listener. and many time caller. And we are going to talk about favorite vacation destinations. Did we talk about vacation destinations before? Did we talk about destinations that we want to go to?
I thought we did vacations we've done.
Okay. So this is what we're going to do it again. We're revisiting.
So it's vacations we've done, not dream vacations like we haven't done.
Nope.
Okay.
Places you've been. Top five places you've been. Per her request. And then we'll probably get back into worst movie prequel or sequels. I was even thinking prequels would be fun to do at some point. But yeah. Next week is Sarah with favorite vacation destinations you've been to.
Got it.
We'll wordsmith that a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah, if you don't have anything else, Caleb, I think we'll get out of here, and I'm going to go eat my ice cream before it melts.
Which is already starting to, right?
Yeah. It's all right.
Yeah,
it's perfect consistency right now.
Nope, I got nothing else. Enjoy, everyone. See you next week for vacations.
Woo! See ya.
Thanks for listening to the High Five Podcast. We'd love to hear what your high fives would be or what you thought of ours. You can find us on Facebook or email us at thehighfivepodcast@gmail.com. Or just say hi if you know us in real life. And a big thank you to our friend Trevor Durheimer for the awesome intro and outro music. See you next time!